Why would Brian Koberger's family think that he could be involved in the Idaho killings? What do they know? Alex Murdaugh gets another indictment. Who gets the life insurance policy that Letitia Stauch took out on Gannon? This breakout plot reads more like a movie script than everyday crime. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for joining us. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't. Like if you do. Leave me a comment below. Hit that little bell so that you receive notifications. And remember, you can always listen to us anytime on any of your favorite podcasting apps, including Apple and Spotify. All right, let's support the people that, well, help keep Crime Talk going.
As a pet owner, you want to give your furry friend the very best. That's why Baked in Colorado's CBD-infused dog treats are the perfect choice. These delicious treats not only taste great, but they also provide a wide range of health benefits for your pet. CBD has been shown to have many positive effects on dogs, including reducing anxiety, alleviating pain and inflammation, and improving overall wellness. Baked in Colorado's treats are infused with premium, full-spectrum CBD oil, meaning your pet will benefit from the whole plant extract. Not only that, but Baked in Colorado's treats are made with all-natural human-grade ingredients so you can feel good about what you're giving your pet. They're also free from wheat, corn, and soy, making them a great option for dogs with food sensitivities. Baked in Colorado's CBD-infused dog treats are the perfect way to support your pet's health and well-being. With various flavors, including peanut butter, pumpkin, and bacon, your dog will love them too. So why wait? Head to www.bakedincolorado.com today and order your dog a bag of these delicious and nutritious treats. Your pet will thank you for it.
All right, let's go ahead and open the record for May 24th, 2023 and begin today's docket. Like I said, what does the Koberger family know that, well, we don't know yet? That's right, the family of Brian Koberger, the guy accused in the killings of the four Idaho college students, well, they feared that the suspect was involved in the murders before he was even arrested. What do they know that we don't know? The Koberger family reportedly grew suspicious over Koberger's behavior when they spent time together in the holidays there at their home in Pennsylvania in December of 2022. It is reported that Koberger's relatives noticed that obviously that he was constantly wearing latex gloves even when he was inside the home. Clearly not normal behavior, even at the end of COVID, so to speak. Well, apparently one of Koberger's older sisters began to suspect that her brother was involved in the murders, and at one point she raised her concerns with other family members. And then the sisters apparently loudly pointed out that at the time of the homicides, Koberger, Brian Koberger that is, was living just a few miles from the off-campus apartment there in Moscow, Idaho, where obviously the crime took place, and that he coincidentally drove a white Hyundai Elantra, the vehicle that investigators stated that they were looking for at the time. Koberger's sister believed that the family should consider him as the one who killed the four victims. Now, Koberger's father apparently protested and insisted that his son could not be involved in any way. Well, to find out the truth, several Koberger family members searched Koberger's vehicle for possible evidence, but the relatives found nothing suspicious inside the car since, well, they didn't know that he had already cleaned the car with bleach. Meanwhile, the police spotted him clearing the Hyundai as well when they were observing him through their surveillance. Now, obviously, Koberger will give him the presumption of innocence, and he had an arraignment on the previously returned indictment, and his lawyers and Mr. Koberger stood silent when asked to enter a plea, and therefore the judge entered a plea of not guilty on Mr. Koberger's behalf. Now, like I said, give the guy the presumption of innocence. He's entitled to that. That's what the law requires. But that's not a good sign when something takes place and your family thinks that you could do something this terrible. Why do they feel that he's capable of murder? What do they know that we have not been told yet? I would love to be a fly on the wall during that next family get together, But apparently somebody thought, he could be the suspect. He's capable of that. Very, very interesting. Let me know what you think. When a crime is committed, do you automatically think that your family member could have been involved? No. And if you did, why would you think that? What do they know? I think this guy is going to turn out to be Creeper 101 in this case. He is weird. There's something not right about him. I don't know if he's got mental health issues, whatever. Something's not right. He's not wired right. We'll see as the case develops. Next on the docket, Alex Murdaugh gets himself another indictment. That's right. Alex Murdaugh has been charged in a federal indictment alleging that he siphoned $3.4 million from his deceased housekeeper's insurance settlement and defrauded his partners and clients for 16 years. Now, this indictment includes 22 counts, and it was unsealed Wednesday, and it outlines three different schemes of the disgraced former South Carolina attorney. Yep, y'all know the story. Bad guy. Now, if convicted on all of the counts in this new indictment, and if he was sentenced consecutively to each count, which include charges of bank fraud, wire fraud, money laundering, he could spend up to another 480 years in prison and could be fined up to $13 million. Now, we all know that's not going to happen. Now, Murdaugh's attorney, Mr. Dick Harptulian, and Jim Griffin said that they have, or their client, has been cooperating with the United States Attorney's Office and other federal agencies in investigating this broad range of activities. And they stated that the charges brought today will be quickly resolved without a trial. The lawyers added that, obviously, that a plea deal was imminent. Well, what does that mean? Okay, here is something you're not going to learn on your evening television show. Okay, right now, Alex Murdaugh is sentenced in state custody. The federal government, has issued a writ of habeas corpus ad prosecutendum to bring him into the federal system. And he will now be in primary federal custody. What means is that he will more than likely enter a plea of guilty, be sentenced, and serve his federal sentence, and then go back to the state once the federal sentence is done. Just the weird way the feds work. Once they get you, they like to keep you. Why would the Murdaughs want to do this? Quality of life. Not that anybody wants to go to prison, but I've been told by a client or two over the years that the federal system is much nicer than the state system. Why? Because the feds have more money. Well, at least until next week, apparently. But you know what I'm saying. It's nicer. It's quality of life. And when you come to the realization, like Alex Murdaugh has probably come to the realization, that he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. That's right. He's going to die there. He's going to try to make it as comfortable as possible for himself. So that's why the Murdaugh team wants to get him resolved as quickly as possible so he can get to the Federal Bureau of Prison site as quickly as possible. Next, who's going to get that insurance money that Letitia Stauch took a policy out on? That's right. USAA, my insurance company, is seeking to stop Letitia Stauch, obviously now that she's been convicted of murdering her 11-year-old stepson, from obtaining a life insurance policy that she took out before the murder of Gannon Stauch. Now, the court documents filed by USAA state in the lawsuit that Stauch and the biological parents of the deceased 11-year-old Gannon Stauch alleges that a court should decide who receives the life insurance payments. USA alleges that they are an innocent stakeholder and they are seeking to interplead funds into the court registry to resolve the potential for exposure of multiple liabilities and potential rights to the death benefits. That's according to the lawsuit. I'll explain that in a minute. The lawsuit filed by USAA states that Stauch took out a life insurance policy titled a term life insurance rider for children in 2017, which would have provided her with $25,000 in the event that her stepson had passed away. The child rider specifies that USA Life will pay the death benefits to the insured if living or to the estate of the insured child. Now, Letitia Stauch was obviously arrested in Gannon's murder in March of 2020 and was charged with murder in the first degree, child abuse resulting in death, tampering with a deceased human body, and tampering with physical evidence. Thus, if this court finds that Letitia feloniously killed Gannon, which she did, she will be precluded from receiving the death benefits. That's the Slayer statute. We talked about that on our Patreon show last night. Now, in that event, the child rider requires the death benefits be paid to Gannon's estate. So what does that mean? She signed a contract with USAA for a life insurance. It's a contract. And it says if the child passes away, you provide us proof, you get the $25,000. But state law prevents somebody that killed somebody to benefit from that. So therefore, they are precluded from that money. In most cases where I've seen this arise in cases that I have handled, the estate for the child or the deceased will then ask somebody to disclaim any interest in the property, the money in this case. And so what's probably taking place here is that you have multiple people saying, we are lawfully entitled to the money. So you have Gannon's estate, biological father, biological mother. My guess is they are all saying, no, I get the money. I am the surviving spouse, because that's the way the money goes. If to the children, it goes back up to the parents. If not to the parents, if there are no parents, then it goes to brothers and sisters, etc. So the USAA insurance says, hey, court, we don't want any part of this. So we're going to send this $25,000 along with this complaint. We're going to deposit the money in the court registry, and you decide who is entitled to the money. More than likely, the court will divvy it up equally among the biological parents in this particular case. But clearly, it shows that somebody, multiple people, say they want the money. And I hate to say it, I know, tragedy just like this, but it's always about the money. It's always about the money. Next. Yes, this next story sounds like a plot from a movie, not just everyday crime stuff. So an elderly millionaire who's locked up on charges of child pornography basically has developed a plot where he allegedly tried to have people break him out of a Florida jail so that he could jet off to France and reside in his castle. So this John Manchek guy, he's old. He's 78. He's got nothing to lose. He's accused of conspiring with other inmates and friends from outside to assault the Indian River County Jail and the police there before rushing him off on a private jet. This is according to Sheriff Eric Flowers. Flowers says that this is the real deal. This guy's been charged with child pornography. He's in our jail, and he's trying to escape. He thinks he's going to have these guys attack our correctional folks. Sheriff Flowers said, I don't think so. Because apparently the detectives and their intelligence units were able to intercept this plot, and they did a fantastic job, according to the sheriff. And because of that, everybody's going to face charges. Now, the escape plot centered on an April 12th medical appointment. Manchek, who was arrested in 2014 on these 49 counts of possession of child images, well, he fled to France until his capture back in 2020. And he would attend the scheduled visit while his lackeys would plan to intercept the corrections transport vehicle at the outside medical facility. Does that sound coincidental? Remember our little love group that tried to escape from that Tennessee, right? Going to the medical appointment. Anyway, this guy's cellmate, a guy by the name of Byron Harvey, and another unnamed accomplice were allegedly stationed to attack the corrections deputies with pepper spray before freeing Manchek and taking him to an undisclosed location. The Arrow Shade company owner had allegedly hired multiple vehicles to facilitate the escape and take him to his private airport near the Fort Pierce Regional Airport, where he would then flee to his medieval estate in the south of France. Anyway, Manchek's footmen also prepared his 140-foot yacht for this big grand plan, and the sheriff said that Manchek even paid Harvey's bail and allowed them to live in his home in exchange for packing Manchek's suitcase and ordering his favorite liquors for the trip home. Now, Manchek, who has dual citizenship in France and the United States, is accused of putting these accomplices on his company payroll in the lead up to the breakout until one tipped deputies off about 2 months ago regarding the plan. The investigators then began listening to Manchek's jail phone calls and discovered he used the code word paint job while talking with his employees about the plot. The sheriff said the plan was to go back to the castle in France and never faced charges in the United States again. It's not the first time that Manchek tried to elude authorities over this crime. He posted a nearly $500,000 bond following his 2014 arrest and escape to France at that time. France denied U.S. attempts to extradite him, but he was eventually arrested while visiting his third home in the Dominican Republic in 2020, where he was returned to Florida. Now, Manchek requested permission to leave the jail in January by claiming he suffered from chronic medical conditions and because he broke his hip and wrist late last year. That request was denied, as will any other request for leniency be denied for Mr. Manchek. You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. Reality is stranger than fiction. And then finally today, our dumb criminal of the day. More crime involving food. Let it go, ladies and gentlemen. Wait till you hear this. A Kentucky man has been arrested after police claim that he shot his roommate after the victim, his roommate, ate the last Hot Pocket in the home. That's right, a Hot Pocket. Take a look at old Clifton Williams there. He's an older guy, and he's from Louisville, Kentucky. He was arrested on Sunday on one count of assault for a shooting that wounded his roommate during an alleged argument over the microwavable Hot Pocket. Williams became upset when he learned that his roommate had apparently eaten the last Hot Pocket and then started throwing things at his roommate. The roommate reportedly tried to leave, but that's when Williams went back inside the shared home, grabbed a gun, and shot his roommate in the butt. That will teach you never to take a man's Hot Pocket. You don't touch another man's car, you don't touch their wife, and you don't touch their Hot Pocket. Now you know. Police said the unidentified victim was taken to the University of Louisville Hospital where he was treated for non-life-threatening injuries, and he's going to be okay. Now, Mr. Williams, on the other hand, he's been arraigned on charges of assault. And guess what? Where he's going, you don't get Hot Pockets, Mr. Williams. Just saying, think about that next time somebody touches your Hot Pocket. Never going to happen again. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you next time.